Today, meet Joe Wilkes, conspiracy realist. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. Well, believe me or believe me not, Joe Wilkes is back. Joe, hello, welcome back.
Hello, Martin. How are you, mate?
It's been a little while. Yeah, absolutely. For those following the channel for some time, Joe and I did a lot of shows. He was based in New Zealand, talking about property, and went out and filmed a whole bunch of different locations in New Zealand, and we got into the discussion of marginal borrowers and buyers and first-time buyers and government stimulus and all that sort of stuff. And then, Joe, you got a bit carried away with real estate, and then, you know, a few things, life caught up with you and you disappeared, but you're back now. So we should just give people a little bit of an update, because you've got really interesting insights now on New Zealand property, Australian property, and UK property. So what's been going on?
Yeah, well, I think the last time that we spoke was probably in the second lockdown in New Zealand. And at the time, I'd recently been fired from being general manager of a national real estate company over there for my views on a certain medical thing that was going on around the world in 2020. And I then spent the following 2 years in New Zealand, escaped in May 2022, about 7 months before Jacinda Ardern bolted for America. I went back to the UK on the first flight that I could get out without taking any medicine. And then for the last, well, for 2.5 years, I was back in the UK, went back to the firm that I'd been a director of previously, and decided to go back on the tools. So I was actually on the front line valuing houses again, spent 2.5 years doing between 400 and 500 valuations a year, seeing a lot of what was going on. We had the whole debacle after the Liz Truss government, the spike in interest rates, which made things very, very challenging, which was pretty much 6 months after I got back. More recently, I find myself in North Queensland and seeing, I suppose, the end of, I think it's the end of the debt bubble in Australia. But I said that about New Zealand for a while, and I called it a bit early. I think it had it not been for all the financial stimulus of the COVID measures and people earning money for doing nothing, New Zealand would have had a turnaround sooner than it happened. I mean, really, it started happening in 2022. But you know, it was inevitable, and house price to income ratios are very, very different there. But yeah, all three property markets very different, and economies very different. I used to think that governments and people forget that govern means control, and ment is Latin for mind. So yeah, all our mind controllers have actually stimulated things in different ways and created various challenges for their indigenous populations. Which are playing out in their various ways now. New Zealand's gone through quite a big correction. It's not quite a crash. I think you have to have 20% off property prices for it to be considered a crash, but they're close and they're on their way there. And I think it's probably still got some way to run. Australia's been stimulated by immigration and you know, serious numbers of people coming into the country, putting pressure on the number of households. So 11 million properties in Australia, of which 1 million of them are empty, which I find bizarre. But at the same point, a lot of immigration, 900,000 people in the last 12 months here, different type of property market. And the UK, it's just being trashed, really. The economy's trashed. The cities and town centres look like ghettos. You can't walk down a high street these days without 50 vape shops, 400 Turkish barbers, and various other weird things, nail bars and crap that for me all just look like money laundering operations. But so we're all going through a different thing. And I don't know, I used to think that governments had our best interests in heart, and the fuck ups that they were making were by accident, and these days I think it's all by design. And I suppose I've woken up to quite a lot of what the agendas are and are for each individual country. I remember you, me and Robbie talking about the cash ban back in 2018 2019, and there's a lot of pressure to remove cash. I think that this They've just about to lose their last bank on the west coast of Tasmania. Saw a little bit that Robbie had done recently. So yeah, the push towards a digital control grid and removal of freedoms is well underway.
On the property story, it's interesting because New Zealand prices are about 16 to 70% lower than they were at their peak. I made a show last week about that, and it's quite interesting to see how they sort of tightened down migration and tightened down some of the lending to property investors. And guess what? Property prices reacted. Now, of course, in New Zealand, they're talking about offering golden visas and trying to encourage new migrants to come back. So they want to sort of stoke it up. In Australia, of course, with the high migration, very high migration, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming in every month, a lot of whom have money to burn and money to spend. And so that's pushed the prices up. And we've had a massive run up. It's interesting that now, of course, with interest rates being cut in Australia, the expectation is that prices will go even higher. And then in the UK, we've had shenanigans there with well, things like the new government giving effectively first-time buyers a bit of a leash, and so it was a bit of a run, and then it's stalled, and prices have, so it's all over the place. But the thing that's consistent with all of this is government meddling in our lives, and this is what I get really frustrated with. People believe that governments somehow have their best interests at heart. But if you look carefully, a lot of the mess that we're in is because governments think they know best and they think they've got our best interests. I wish they'd just get out the road. And, I made a show the other day saying bigger, more government ain't a good idea, you know, because they just can't help themselves. You know, the last election in Australia was all about, we're going to blow property prices high. You know, we're going to help more people get in and buy. And Albo's got this nutty scheme where effectively you just need a few percent to borrow now. It's like they don't understand. And, you know, even although that they have official reports, you know, you've got them in New Zealand, Australia and the UK saying, if you give stimulus to first-time buyers, it just puts prices up and actually doesn't help. But no, the government's still doing it anyway. It's like they've got no idea. And you know, you either assume they're idiots or you assume they've got a different agenda to the one that you might think they have.
Yeah, well, I personally believe that there is an agenda. And what I used to put down to just basic idiocy is an idiocy. It's all deliberate to keep people in as much stress as possible, much fear as possible. For me, the last few years has been a real eye-opener to what is termed mass formation psychosis. And mass formation psychosis is where people just go along with something, even though it might not be right for everybody to go along because that's what they're told to. Classic example of mass formation psychosis is Nazi Germany, and whatever you believe or not about the history there. But that's mass formation psychosis. I was always amazed living in New Zealand and just seeing how the perennial spruiking of property, 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 property in everybody's mind just seemed to continue this cycle when the fundamentals were just not there, not realistic. And the same mass formation psychosis happened around COVID. People got very, very scared, fearful, and you know, fear of missing out is something we've talked about before, but fear of something that wasn't as serious as everybody told us it was. That led to something. And then when the next thing that came along, which was the COVID medicine, that led to a mass formation psychosis of you've got to get it or you're going to kill granny or you're going to kill your nan. And those things led to people's behavior being somewhat psychotic in some issues. I mean, I had instances in New Zealand, which I like to think I'm a fairly sensible human being, and there was behaviour that just wasn't sensible, and that's what we've seen in New Zealand with respect to property. So if I look at each individual country, New Zealand, they're going to struggle for a long time because if you have any notion of freedom and not wanting the government to meddle in your life. And you lived through the New Zealand episode of the 2020, 2021, 2022 bullshit, as soon as you could leave, you would leave. And a lot of those people who had the ability to did. And they won't go back. They just won't go back because of the behavior of the populace. The mass formation psychosis really did affect humanity and how people behaved in supermarkets, how they behaved in pubs and bars. And it was genius, really. You pump everybody so full of debt that they need their jobs to pay for their rent, or for their mortgages, or for whatever. And then you tell them you can't work or do anything unless you go and have a medical procedure with something that we don't know what it is, or you know, it's tested for 10 minutes and then off you go. What happened? Everybody did as they were told. I found it amazing in New Zealand in sort of 2022. I'd be driving around Christchurch and the mass formation psychosis then had moved off the COVID medicine and onto Ukraine flags everywhere. And I'm thinking, we're fucking 13,000 miles away, excuse my language. Why is everybody now focusing on this? And you can see how the populations have been led over the last few years. In the UK, Boris Johnson was selected for us. His father, Stanley, is a known eugenicist. You know, there's interviews of him talking about the UK would be great with a population of 12 million. So, you know, the move towards having no people in supermarkets serving you anymore, and it's all machines, perhaps they know something that we don't. And you can apply this when you look at the death rates around Australia, New Zealand and Australia. The death rates have risen quite significantly, in some places 15-20% in terms of the number of deaths per 1,000 population. Now, I remember tongue-in-cheek us doing a post back in 2018, it would have been, and I was saying, well, all three of these countries got a major issue with the baby boom generation and the cohort, big birth years from 1953 to 1960, coming up to retirement, spending less, some of them still having quite big debt levels, and then being, so the government's having to pay, government mind controllers having to pay pensions to all these people. So if you're looking at a pensions problem and you don't have enough money, you know, quickest way to do it be to go and give everybody a cold or a lethal injection to reduce the government's bill. I've said that flippantly, but I don't know. All I know is that we in the UK, I was back on the tools. I had to and going out valuing between 400 500 houses a year. If I saw 10 or 15 probate valuations in a year, that would be quite a few. Up until 2017, when I left the UK, 2022, 23, 24, I would say that probably 40% of the valuations that I did were where somebody had either passed away in the household, or people were very, very sick. And if you're sick, and this is the issue I think that the UK's got at the moment in terms of mobility in the market, if you're sick, you don't move house, you get yourself better, and then you think about moving. If you're dead, you don't go buy houses. So it's also a very clever way, and being a cynic here, if you wanted to create credit within an economy, i.e. debt and new money created to keep this corrupt system alive that we've lived through all of our lifetimes and from when we went off the gold standard in 1971, the easiest way to do it is to have houses where you've got an older seller, they've popped the clogs, new money comes in, debt mostly, to go and create the flow of new money within the system. So I think that's one of the reasons that you're still seeing credit growth in some places, because debt-free houses are being replaced by houses with debt.
Yeah, well, there's clearly a debt problem. And in fact, the global amount of debt that's out there, you know, I saw a report the other day, it's never been higher, it's still climbing higher. And so that's an amazing thing. And that's public debt and private debt and consumer debt. And as you say, if you're you know, a younger person, you might get a bit of help from the bank of mum and dad, but you've still got to borrow a lot more to be able to buy that property, because the value of the property is much bigger than it used to be relative to income. It's true in New Zealand, it's true in Australia, and true in the UK, that people are more geared up than ever before. Now, in the UK, of course, they did put a few protections in place post 2008. So, for example, they limited the debt-to-income ratios that the banks could lend at, and they actually pulled back on some of the stimulus that was actually offered to first-time buyers. Well, guess what? They're now talking about reversing that and allowing people to borrow more funny that. And again, supporting first-time buyers. So this is about the debt trap getting ever bigger. And, you know, I remember talking to Michael Hudson some years ago, a very famous economist, and he made the point that if you look back through history, and, you know, we're not talking hundreds, but we're talking thousands of years, you're talking the Romans and the Greeks, the debt slave has the normal status for most people. Most people are effectively always in hoc in yeah. some way, which means that they are not their own master, they're somebody else's master. And he says, nothing has changed fundamentally. You are still a debt slave. And, you know, that means that you basically have to work to live, to work to live, to pay the debt, to work to live. And the bottom line is, of course, that you are a cash flow. And all of the banks, of course, love that. You know, the more that you continue to pay for a longer period of time, the more they love you because they value that cash flow. And that's why banks have much bigger balance sheets. That's why they've lent a whole lot more. But that lending process stokes property prices even higher and maybe creates a little sense of wealth for those people who actually happen to live in those properties. But it's illusory. And that's the problem I've got. Now, the point is that the government is culpable for this. They've actually set policies in train over multiple decades to facilitate and enable this. And so we've got more and more debt. And in Australia, of course, the Productivity Commission is talking about somewhere between $3 trillion and $6 trillion of intergenerational wealth that's going to trickle down over the next generation or so, which, of course, then puts more pressure on the economy as well. So it's like we've got this sandcastle being built bigger and bigger and bigger. But meanwhile, around the base of the sandcastle, you know, the basis is being washed away. And what's going to happen? The population growth that we've got in Australia is predominantly migration at the moment. That creates continued demand. But if they turn the dial down, that's going to be an issue. The amount of debt in the system means that people are being forced to pay more and more and more of their income as a proportion of their total income on their debt repayments or rents, because rents tend to track this as well. And what it means is that we've got more and more of the population who are completely in hoc, got no hope other than just to keep paying and hoping that magically somehow it sorts itself out. And, you know, debt slave doesn't really half sum it up, does it, very well?
Yeah. No, well, it's hilarious, isn't it? When you look at every government is in massive amounts of debt around the world. And it's like, okay, well, so China, they've got generally a bit of a surplus, but we don't all owe money to China. And people don't understand this money creation by central banks, thinking that they're, you know, they're there to look after the individual nations when actually they're all private companies. So, yeah, I don't know who we owe all this money to. Perhaps it's the aliens that are running the show and you know, are pulling the strings. I don't know. But it's a fascinating world. And you look at who we've had in charge everywhere. I mean, Jacinda Ardern, I find it fascinating that she jumped ship in early 2023, left New Zealand, off to America. She'll be disappeared somewhere forever because I can't see her. I can't see her being able to walk down a street in New Zealand anymore without people waking up. And that's what's happened in New Zealand. I think that there has been a waking up of the population to the fact that they don't want to be debt slaves forever. And you can spork and spork and spork and spork in this mass formation psychosis that got everybody into this. If the younger generation is saying, nah, just not getting involved, or you've got others who have woken up to the fact that we are living in a debt slavery system and saying, well, I'm going to deleverage, I'm going to get rid of debt, I'm going to go and live within my means. And I think that's what's happened in New Zealand. I think that it's been very hard for them to hide the issues of the last few years, and particularly the health issues, because New Zealand is a country of lots of small towns. With, you know, greatest respect, Auckland's a reasonable city, but Wellington, Christchurch, they're not massive places. Everybody who lives around those areas knows what's happened in the last few years. And many of them now know that some of these medicines that have been administered haven't been to people's best interests. So what I think you've got in New Zealand is a population that's waking up saying, no, we're going to deleverage. And unless the government go and fill that gap with a magic money tree printing, which will collapse the New Zealand dollar, they're not going to be able to replicate the private sector debt accumulation that they had done before. Australia, I don't know with Australia, because the mind control seems to be even stronger here, and I don't think it could be. I mean, I last lived in Australia back in 2000, 2001, and I thought New Zealand were controlled by the media. Remortgage one house and take some money out, and then go and buy another one. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who really want this system to carry on because they will be up to their eyeballs if there was a 5 or 10% housing market correction. So that, the selling of the slavery is very, very important. What I've noticed on returning to Australia, though, is that it's lost its confidence. The lucky country doesn't seem so lucky at the moment, and I think there are a lot of people doing it very, very hard. People don't seem as welcoming and friendly as they used to be. Maybe that's because the demographic changes have been so rapid that there is a lost community, or people are living further away from their families, or the integration of so many people from all over the world has just lost Australians' identity. And it's been deliberate. You just look at who's been in charge. The current incumbent, Albanese. I mean, I don't know. He's the leader of your country, your commander in chief in Australia. And I wouldn't put him in charge of, well, first of all, I don't think he could lead himself to the toilet, and I wouldn't put him in charge of a play school. And there might be a reason for that, but he's just a beta bloke who, obviously, there is somebody there pulling his strings and telling him what to do. And I saw some of the recent senators arriving for the new opening of parliament, and you've got some ridiculous TikTok videos of some 21-year-old girl from West Australia who she's all of this, all of that. And I don't know, it's like the critical thinking that everybody lost in the COVID era was lost a long time ago, and it hasn't come back. And people's attention spans, I don't know how many people would watch us talking for more than 30 seconds these days, if I'm perfectly honest, Martin. Maybe we're talking to ourselves.
Well, I do shorts now as well, so I basically clip a little bit out of the show,
Okay,
because
maybe we can,
what I
maybe we
find
can
is that you're
cut.
right. A lot of people have no patience to actually think about these issues, and if you can't, they've got 10 seconds, and that's a bit. But the point is, these are serious structural issues, and what I try to do on the channel here is actually tease them apart. I did a show last week on neoliberalism and why neoliberalism is part of the problem, right? Because the debt mound is actually intentional, and the debt slave strategy is intentional. It's not a happenstance. It's not a reaction to COVID. You can go back and look at history and see the change of trajectory and how it's all coming through. And so people know in their heart that things are broken, and they know that things are not like they used to be and are not as good as they used to be. And so when you talk to youngsters, they are really quite gloomy about the future, which perhaps, by the way, is one of the reasons why mental health issues are so much more to the fore than they used to be, because people just don't necessarily hang on to hope, whereas perhaps a generation or two ago they used to. And in fact, when I first came to Australia, I was amazed at how positive everybody was and how everybody was very, very upbeat about Australia and the beaches and everything, compared with the UK. Well, that's all gone, as far as I can see. People have just
Well, I've noticed it just coming back here this year. So I'm up in North Queensland now, and my wife and I, we decided that we'd leave the UK because the weathers were so terrible. And she's an Australian. We had a lot of cloud seeding going on in the UK. A lot of cloud seeding. So, I don't know if anybody wants to look into it. There's a lot of information about it. And I thought, we'll go to North Queensland. It'd be lovely here. And the same thing's happening here. And it's on a mass scale. And the weather isn't natural. You can look into it. There's a guy called Rob Deutsch who has another YouTube channel. I don't want to point people away from Martin's YouTube channel, but he does got a lot on it in Australia. So yeah, the weather's, maybe it's the weather making everybody depressed, but I don't think it is. I think that there is a fundamental lack of confidence, and it's not too late to turn it around. And sometimes the movement in society will turn it around itself, like possibly what is happening in New Zealand, where people are saying, no, I'm not going to carry on getting involved in this. I'm not going to borrow beyond my means. Yes, the bank will lend me 5, 6, 7, 8 times on interest-only terms. Because I remember when we were talking back in 2018, I think mortgages in New Zealand had got to 33% of all mortgages being interest-only. And you look at the UK back in 2008, before the financial crisis, we only ever got to about 11 or 12% of interest-only lending. So that system sucks your soul, time, energy, and money. I think people are rejecting. They don't always know why they're rejecting it, but they're looking and they're feeling within their beings is there is something fundamentally wrong. Do I want to continue being involved in it? And I just wonder whether or not the education of Australians, if it were better, whether over a period of time, because this is going to take 10 or 20 years to unwind, and there will be some pain for those that have fallen for the system, fallen for the mass formation psychosis, and humanity actually needs that mass formation psychosis to be disintegrated, and for people to realise that, okay, not, they say money is the root of all evil. But actually, it's created so many disparities and lots of the social problems that you're seeing in Australia at the moment, with the robberies, with the violent crime, with all these drug problems. They do come from the sense of the younger generation's desperation or lack of hope. And the only way that is turned around is if either we all stop listening to government, and not paying taxes and not getting involved in the system at all, or there's proper leadership that comes through from real men, not these beta humans that get put in charge of us. I mean, Rishi Sunak, a friend of mine used to call him Rickshaw Shitsack, but he's a beta man. He was put there for a purpose and then disappeared. And it's the same with every politician, Starmer at the moment in the UK, or Keir Starmer, Steer Carmer. So much corruption. There are so many things that government just don't have control over. But actually, it is deliberate. So the hidden hand that's running the show, and a lot of us have our ideas about who that hidden hand is or where it originates. It needs to be exposed, shed a light on it, let people understand what's going on. People need to try and avoid the distractions of what's going on in the NRL and what their favourite celebrities wearing on the beach this summer, and actually try and understand, okay, well, how do we as individuals or as communities work towards creating better communities and better outcomes for the next generation?
Yeah, well, I've always said that until we actually wake up and understand that, the politicians aren't there to impose top-down, thou shalt, and whether that thou shalt comes from the local politicians.
Come from the Lord, Martin.
Yeah, or does it come from higher up, the thou shalt. We've got to turn it around and say, no, there is people power here, right? There is an opportunity for, local communities and local people to say, no, hang on a moment. This has gone far enough. We need to actually think differently about the way that society works. And I always come back to a simple question, Joe. What is society for, right? What is society for? And, Thatcher said there's no such thing as society. It's only, individuals. Well, I actually think there's a very important alternative narrative here that says society is about maximizing the best interests of as many people as possible. And that's, small businesses and individuals, right? And the political process should support that rather than actually a political process come top down. And as you say, where does it come from? Probably internationally rather than just locally, to the point where effectively we are just being infantilized. And what that means is we're not allowed to think for ourselves. We don't actually do anything other than just say, yes, sir, follow orders for sir. Pay taxes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Now, that's not the world that I think is the right future.
No, well, the UN Agenda 2030 is in full swing in Australia and New Zealand. You can see it with the infrastructure. I mean, you're not a million miles away here from the 15-minute cities. I mean, Lismore which has been flooded out, is going to get invested in, but that's a test case. I actually went to a protest in Oxford back in 2023 about the 15-minute city proposal for Oxford in the UK, where they were talking about splitting Oxford into six zones and then having you could leave your zone in a vehicle 100 times a year, and then more than that you would get charged for it. Which, you know, if you think, if you've got your mum in zone six and you're in zone one and she's not very well and you want to visit her every day, well, that's going to be ridiculous. But it's there and it's being tested. And you look at all the CCTV, the security, the infrastructure that's going on around the UK, every high street now, the bonkers restrictions, the AI parking fines that people are getting, AI speeding fines that people are getting. That's happening here in Melbourne. And Melbourne had a very, very heavy lockdown to try and break the resistance of people down there. And, you know, God bless them. They went through the longest lockdown in the world for a cold that still has never been proven to exist, because they've never isolated coronavirus to my knowledge. But prove me wrong in the comments if anybody has come across that information. So the control system is massive here. Australia, I didn't realize until recently, have more policemen per head of population than any country in the world. So not sure what they're up to. Well, you know,
I think it's more laws and more taxes as well, I think, almost anybody else.
They're collectors. They're tax collectors. I got you. I did read somewhere that if you do the IQ test for the Australian police, you score over 104, you don't get in. So they obviously weren't smart enough to follow orders, but not smart enough to question them. I am joking, but apparently that might be the case. So it's a fascinating world that we've moved ourselves into, and you know, nearly five years since our last conversation, I thought everything was ridiculous back then, but it seems that the new normal is even more ridiculous than the old normal was.
Yeah, well, you're part of what we try to do on this channel is to, you know, throw a few stones in the pond and create a few ripples, and you know, the step one is get people to question, well, why are things the way they are? You know, and maybe there's an important point there. But then the next part is to say, and what do we need to change to be able to actually take it to a better future? Because the point is, I still believe the future is genuinely open. There are alternatives. There are different ways of thinking about where the future could take us. But if we just let ourselves get carried along on the wave of debt and the wave of, oh, the government's great, they'll look after us. No, never mind. And in fact, interestingly, of course, a recent research report showed that in Australia, Australians assume the government will always look after you, which is a really interesting observation, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at Australia, New Zealand and Australia, the governments always have looked after the generations that have grown up since the Second World War. They've done well out of rising house prices. They've had good education generally. Healthcare is pretty good in most countries, although the National Harm Service I question in these days. In fact, I question all of them now. But so there wasn't any really thing to question. No one's been invaded. Australia, New Zealand have never had an invader come and attack them. There might have been a little incident in Townsville back in the Second World War with some bombers, some Japanese bombers. But generally, there's never been that issue. And for the whole period post-war, there has been this trust in government that they are here to look after us. And I think that's what's fooled everybody, because you get to 2020 and if you do remember when you're a kid and you go and see the opticians, and it started in the 1970s, and you know, if you had perfect vision, you had 20/20 vision, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's got something to do with all the bullshit they're going to pull in 2020. I also look at places like New Zealand, and their two supermarkets, when I got there in 2017, their major brands were called Countdown and New World. So, you know, Countdown to the New World, a bit of a giveaway. But anyway, so I digress. But there's a lot of things that people have to look at with a wide lens. And most of us are so busy focused on, and this is what got everybody, so busy focused on, I've got to get the job, got to go and specialize in my thing. So most people are specialists in one thing and one thing only. And I was myself for years and years and years. I was a specialist in a certain property market in Hertfordshire. And that's what I knew. I knew my onions. I was, all over it. And I knew everybody and everything that was going on in that market. Did I know about banking? Not really until 2008, 9, but I was interested, and became very interested as we looked through. And then you look back on events and you can start to piece together that, okay, a lot of these things aren't happening organically, they're happening by design. And that's what we've got to question. Okay, what design do we want? So if the consciousness of the public is so low about what's happening, then we will walk into whatever control grid the controllers want us to walk into. But if the consciousness of the populations rise and people can extend themselves beyond a TikTok video of Michelle Pfeiffer doing cartwheels, then actually that consciousness can shift within communities, and community is common unity, to go and change things the way that we want them changed. There's going to be a mess, I think, and whatever your bigger political views are, and there's lots going on in the States at the moment, and there's lots of disclosure about certain things going on at the moment. But ultimately, it all resides with individuals educating themselves and looking at, okay, is that acceptable for me, and would that be acceptable to my children, and is that therefore, if I deem that acceptable, carry on with it, and if it's not acceptable to me or my children, should I just not carry on with that behaviour? And that's something that it takes time for that to move. But I do think there's a shift because, and I'm not I'm by no way a socialist at all. But at the same point, I'm nowhere a controlled capitalist. And the system that I think has been perfected now in China by whoever's running the show, the globalists, whatever they are, the WEFers, the mother WEFers, that has been the blueprint. And they're trying to roll it out. We're going to have digital ID in Australia if people don't start using cash. They have to try and wake up. Very convenient. And if you don't have the attention span to watch something, one of these videos or any one of your videos, to be fair, then people are going to walk into it because convenience is the way that they shift us into something that's unnatural. Even down to your local supermarket, you go to the electronic till where there is no human being. Trust me, there is no job for your 16, 17, 18-year-old child when they come to that age at school. And they just want to get some work, but also be part of a community. It was, for many of us, it was lovely having a job in your town as a kid with your mates, and you'd work for however many hours it was a week, and then you'd have those mates to go to the pub with. That doesn't happen if you're all the employees are machines. So we have to start thinking about what do we really, really want as humanity, and put our differences aside. Call out bullshit where bullshit needs to be called out. Call out the people who are acting inappropriately for everything, and that's even down at local level. Call it out, and work towards trying to progress society the way that we want it to change.
Absolutely. And Joe, we're going to pick up these conversations and hopefully have a few more of them, because I think it's really important that we help people to go through that journey. It won't be straightforward. It won't necessarily always be obvious, but more and more people are saying what we have is not working for us at the moment. And my point is there are alternatives that we can explore. And I agree, it's neither the capitalist story nor the socialist story, but there is a third way, and the third way is being built from local communities and people coming back to basics and saying, what do we actually want out of our lives, out of society? And that actually means pushing against things like the digitalization and digital IDs and the social media controls and all of those things that are actually in place. Why? Because at the moment, this top-down doctrine, we'll look after you, don't worry, and we'll protect you from this and that and the other. That is all part of a really big shadowy operation. And it's not in the interests of ordinary people and ordinary businesses. And so we need an alternative path. And that's what this conversation is about today. And indeed, as we pick up the conversation down the track, Joe, let's keep talking about this because it's important,
yeah,
and get people to wake
love
up.
To come back. Love to come back and yeah, I mean, we'll see how long it is me being on your channel before you get YouTube banned. But I've been gentle today, but we'll see where this goes. And you know, I think it's these conversations that people should be having. You know, the conversations today in the how houses, barbecues, and pubs in Australia will all be about how terrible the Australians were at rugby last night. I shouldn't say that, but that's not really the conversation. That's distraction. That's distraction. The real stuff is the stuff that they're not showing you because you're all being distracted by how bad your rugby team was. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Yeah, well, you know, just to sort of finish off, there's a thing called misdirection, right? So you look at all the shiny bits over here and over there, it's where the real stuff is. It's just like a magician, you know, where the real stuff is, nobody ever looks. And so what we're trying to do here is cast a bit of a spotlight on the things that we should be talking about. And Joe, it was really great catching up today. And I look forward to another conversation soon. Take care.
That'd be awesome. Take care, mate. Lovely to see you again.
Cheers.